I want to try to preach to you today about our Redeemer. And I've actually used the title of the song, There Is a Redeemer, as the title of my sermon this morning. The scripture reading is on 1657 in the New Testament. It's in the book of Colossians. And my verse of focus is the 14th verse, and I'll read that in just a moment. But this is a subject that, I'll be honest, as the Lord put it on my heart, I began to think about it. I realized I haven't preached it enough. And not because I didn't want to, just somehow my heart just never got called on it. But as the Lord brought me to look at this wonderful subject in the Bible, I began to study it and read about it. It's just been such a blessing to my heart. So there is a Redeemer. That's the good news. In the midst of the troubling times in which we live, and sometimes when you pick up the paper and you look at it and you read a little, and you try to listen to the news, I think we probably all come to the feeling, well, is there any good news anymore? Is it all bad news from here on out? Well, I tell you today, it's not. The good news is the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The good news today is there is a Redeemer. I didn't say was or will be. There is a Redeemer. And I'm going to read this 14th verse, and you're going to see the word redemption here, but it's about the Redeemer. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And if you'll notice the last of the 13th verse, it is God's dear Son, and we know his name to be Jesus. That is being described here. In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. May God bless his word with all our hearts. And if you will, look with me now to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, it's such a blessing to be able to come to you in prayer. Be able to come to you as a loving, gracious Heavenly Father. Come in the name of our wonderful Savior and elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for giving him to die for our sins. And I know, Lord, I'm not worthy. And yet I do believe in my heart, as I believe others here in this congregation believe, he died for our sins. And I'm thankful, Lord, to believe that today, that Jesus is our Redeemer. And I know in my heart, Lord, there's a lot more about that in the Bible than I can possibly understand, and surely more than I can endeavor to preach in the length of a sermon. Lord, help me. And bless your word find lodging in the hearts and minds of your children. And bless them, dear Lord, through your word today. And this great subject, as we explore it in the word, as we understand it hopefully a little better at the end of this service, then, oh Lord, we'll go home rejoicing in our hearts for your goodness through Jesus, our Redeemer. Do bless, oh Lord, all who need you. There are many on our prayer list, but in our hearts and minds, we know that's multiplied by millions of others all around the face of the earth. People who love you, who trust you, who believe in you, who call you their Father as we call you our Father. And they're leaning on your everlasting arms too. And they have a prayer list in their church and in their family. And yet you hear us all. You know all our needs. You know all our names. You'll not forget a one. Just have mercy on us all. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. As I read this long sentence to you in my scripture reading earlier, 9 verses in one lengthy sentence. And I realized, both at reading at home and reading it here in your presence today, there are a great, great many different subjects, different ideas, different thoughts, different words, all of them embraced in this one long sentence of 9 verses, of which we're focusing today on a very, very small part of it. And so I realized that there, you know, I could, God bless, preach for a long time on this one sentence out of the Bible. But it's the idea of a redeemer. It's the idea of redemption that God's placed on my heart. And I want to explore it a little with you today. First of all, I want us to understand something that I think is very basic but very important, is that though I have read to you out of the New Testament book of Colossians, and I will cite other places later, the idea of a redeemer is not altogether a New Testament concept. It was also mentioned in the Old Testament as well. For example, the prophet Isaiah mentions the word redeemer more than any other writer of the Old Testament. And he was aware of their redeemer. And he said, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. And that was in Isaiah 47, verse 4. So he said, he's our Redeemer, and we know his name, and he is our God and Father. What is our Redeemer? He's the Holy One of Israel. And yet he said, you know, he was, God was their Redeemer. Now, why would he say God was their Redeemer? And I stand here to tell you today that Christ is our Redeemer. Well, simply for this reason, that the fact that God inspired Isaiah to write those words, Jesus had not yet been born. So to the Jews who never lived to see the day and dispensation of Jesus Christ, God was their Redeemer. So as for our Redeemer, Isaiah would say, the Lord of hosts, plural, is his name. In other words, he was saying that the God that he worshipped and the Jews worshipped in that day and time is the God of the Lord of all the hosts. There is a great host, a heavenly host, and there are great hosts of people on this earth. And yet he's God of it all. He is the Lord of hosts. That's his name. And yet he was called their Redeemer. So Isaiah wrote 13 different scriptures about the Redeemer God. But there's another familiar writer in the Old Testament. I think it's important for me to mention. His name was David. He's the psalmist of Israel. And in Psalm 19, verse 14, concluding the 19th chapter, he said, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. See, David understood that about God. God was his Redeemer. So he said, you're our strength, our source of strength, because you are our Redeemer. And he wanted his life in every aspect to be pleasing in the sight of God. And God knew that was his heart. Now, yes, he made mistakes. Yes, he sinned. He did some terrible things. He's a human being, and we're all human beings, and we all sin. And you might say, but I've never done anything like he did. No. Well, we've done other things that displeased God. But that man wanted to please God so much he would pray that made the words of my mouth, oh God, just what I say and what I think and what I meditate upon in my heart. I want it to be acceptable to you. We all ought to feel that way. Every day of our life, just say, Lord, that's the way I want my life to be. I want to say things, not that will dishonor you, but will honor you. I want to think, feel, and embrace things, not that will displease you. I want it to please you. So we all ought to pray that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Because God does see us. Remember that. And he hears us. My strength, he said, and my redeemer. But I'm going to move to another very notable writer of the Old Testament. Trying to lay the groundwork now. Trying to lay the foundation for my sermon. And that is that the idea of a redeemer goes way back. I'm going back to the book of Job, the 19th chapter. Now, I don't know how old the book of Job is. I do not know when Job lived. I have read of the writings of other men, and there are people who believe, and I don't know, I can't say it's true or wrong, but there are people who believe the book of Job is probably the oldest book of the Bible. But I can't prove that. I'm just simply passing on the observation and beliefs of another. But this we do know. There was a man whose name was Job. And he was a man who was close to God. So close to God, he's the one the devil picked out to say, well, he's not serving you really. He's just doing what he can to keep you taking care of him. And if you touched him, or if you let him touch him, he won't be the same man. But Job was, and God allowed the devil to touch him. Because God knew Job. God knows you and me. He knows our heart. And God knew Job. But the 19th chapter, verse 25, he makes a statement profound to me. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom my eyes should behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. There are two statements made by Job. They kind of, they fill my mind. Here's a man who never lived to see Jesus come. But he made the statement, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know he's going to stand on this earth one blessed day. And he did. He did. Born of the Virgin Mary, Jesus grew up on this earth in a body of flesh that would go to the cross and die for our sins. And his feet walked the dusty roads of this earth. He stood upon the earth. Now, how in the world would Job know that he had a Redeemer who would one day stand upon this earth? Himself, God Almighty, revealed. But he also saw something else. He did not just foresee the first coming of Jesus on the earth. He foresaw also the second coming of Jesus. And that's the coming we have not yet encountered. But it is when he will leave heaven's glory and he will come back. And all the lies of people who have God, as God's children have died and they're alive, their soul has gone to paradise to be with the Lord. He'll bring them all back in the resurrection day when the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, what a glorious day it's going to be. We're going to have our old bodies changed to a new body. This mortal will become immortal. This corruptible will become incorruptible. But according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, there is no mention in that time of him coming to put his feet on the earth, but it mentions he will catch us up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and that's the resurrection morning. The dead in Christ shall rise first, And isn't it amazing? Job could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand on this earth, and though my body faces the one saying decay in the grave, I'm going to see him. I'm going to be raised. My eyes, I don't have to have somebody else to see him and tell me what he looks like. My eyes are going to see him. I'm going to see what my Redeemer looks like. Three great, great men of God, inspired by God to write the Scripture, used that word Redeemer and never used it loosely. So, now having laid that as my foundation, that the idea of a Redeemer emerges back in the Old Testament. I will take some Old Testament and now connect it into the New. But I just want to give you a little general information about a Redeemer and what a Redeemer does and who a Redeemer is. Psalm number 49 verse 8 says, the redemption of the soul is precious. Now I understand that we're talking about precious to God. The redemption of the soul. Now why do you say the soul? Because the soul is the immortal part of us. Our soul, our life lives in our body. And our body will in time die. It wears out, but not the soul. The soul is ever fresh. And ever loves God. And so he says that redemption of the soul is precious. Now we have another verse from Isaiah 52 and verse 3. And he says, you sold yourselves for naught. Which means you sold yourselves for nothing. And you shall be redeemed without money. In other words, your redemption is not going to come about because you've got a lot of money to pay for. You may have to go to buy something to eat. You may have to go buy something to wear. But you'll never be able to pay for your redemption because your redemption will come without money. Money won't do it, folks. And that's what Isaiah was saying. Isaiah was simply reminding us of the fact we've sold ourselves. And there are other places in the Bible that indicate the idea there is we sold ourselves to sin. And we did it for nothing. What good does sin do us but pull us down? Make us less than we ought to be. But we've sold ourselves to sin. There's not a person on the earth who hasn't done that. Now here's the reason I want you to see those two. Redemption of the soul is precious. But as part of our body, we've sold ourselves to sin. But our redemption will not be by money. Just try to hold those together in your head and in your heart. The idea of a Redeemer is a very simple idea. In my dictionary, it just means to buy back. That's the first definition. Others give it to that first. To buy back. Now, I think all of us have a little concept of that. If you have ever, for any occasional reason, pawned anything at a pawn shop, you needed money. You needed it now. And you had an item, a tool, a gun, whatever. An error. It was worth some money. But you really didn't want to sell it. But you could go to the pawn shop, and they would give you cash money, and you'd put it on pawn. And they would hold it for a designated time. And if you came back before that time was up, and you paid the money back, and you paid the man the interest on that money, he would give you back that item, and it is said to be redeemed. That's terminology in our day. You can redeem it back from the pawn shop. Once you carry it there, there's a redemption day. So you can buy it back in that sense of earthly redemption. And the other is to free. That's my concordance definition, to free. And that carries out, as I understand it, in those ancient biblical times, this is in Old and New Testament times, people, some type of ex-regents, became deep in debt. And their creditors would require debts to be paid. And if they could not pay the debt, they would be sold or put in prison. And sometimes people would sell themselves to someone. I think it would go something like this, although I was never there to experience it. But they would go to someone and say, I've got to have money and buy a certain thing, or they're going to put me in prison. If I'm in prison, I can't take care of my family. I can't do anything. But if you don't give me the money, then I will work for you for the next 5 years and unclear my debt. I'm free then to go back home and I'll be there with my family again. So whenever they would go, they would get the money and work it off, and they were redeemed, then they were set free. Now, let me add a New Testament verse to all of that. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And that's Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us. All of God's elect, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. We sold ourselves to sin. We could not pay the debt. We needed to be redeemed. We needed to be bought back. We needed to be set free from that bondage. And the only one who could do it was Jesus. And so he is our Redeemer. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Well, how did you say, how did he become a curse for us? Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Where was Jesus when he was crucified? Brothers and sisters, he was nailed to a cross that was made out of trees. Our Redeemer became accursed in the eyes of men to remove the curse from us and sin. That's why he's our Redeemer. But I want you to notice, as I come back to this verse that I shared in the beginning, in whom, in God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, up to now, I've not involved anything having to do with blood, but here it is. And notice, through his blood, he has redeemed us. Through his blood. So it isn't just that he died on the cross. It isn't just that he took a place of shame. But what he did was to shed his blood for us, that it might become the crimson tide that would wash your sins and my sins away, the sins of all God's people. So, as I come to finish my sermon today, I just want you to be reminded of this fact. The great beauty and glory of New Testament redemption and Redeemer is the idea that he shed his blood to wash away our sins. He redeemed us by his blood. Now, I'm going to give you some New Testament scriptures that involve the blood and involve the Redeemer as I close my sermon this morning. This one says he redeemed. There was redemption through his blood. Paul wrote these words under the inspiration of God, but he also wrote the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 4. He talks about we're chosen in Christ before the world began. Verse number 5, predestinated to be adopted by Jesus. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Number 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, brothers and sisters, in the New Testament, it focuses on Christ as our Redeemer. There is a Redeemer. And Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. And He redeemed us by shedding His precious blood. Here's two places I've mentioned. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's the 19th verse. Redeemed by the blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, as the sacrificial lamb appropriate, without blemish, without spot, and Jesus without the tainting of sin. He could die for our sins. He could shed His blood, and almost all things in the law are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And that's why Jesus, as our Redeemer, had to shed His blood. And Peter was saying, don't you understand? You're not going to be redeemed with silver and gold. Why? Isaiah said, you're not going to be redeemed with money. And Peter is echoing it, resounding it to say what he said. 700-800 years ago is still true today. You're not going to be bought with money. You don't have enough silver. You don't have enough gold. You don't have enough property. You don't have enough in your lifetime to buy you a day in heaven's glory. I'm so glad, thankful to God He didn't make our redemption based on our wealth. Wouldn't be a handful of folks, I guess, in heaven for eternity because they'd be the only one that had enough money to buy. Rest us poor souls would make it. God didn't put it that way. In fact, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of us got a lot of money. If they're not one of God's children, if they haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb, they're not going to get to heaven. And you know what? All the money they got in this world, they can buy them a preacher, they can buy them a church, they can't get to heaven. Because the redemption is in Christ, the Son of God, and His atoning precious blood. One last verse. Revelation 5:9. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You hear what John said? Now listen. Paul said it's by His blood. Peter said it's by His blood. John said it's by His blood. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Old Testament and New Testament say that every word be established. God established it very clearly and definitely that it is by His blood that we are redeemed. Out of every kindred, tongue, people, nation. I understand God has elect. God has people in every nation of the world. Yes, I believe sometimes where even the gospel has not gone yet. Most remote places of the earth, God may have His chosen children there. And His Holy Spirit can go into the darkest jungle where no one has been but those who live there. The Holy Spirit can touch hearts and souls and change lives. God can do it. He's a sovereign God, an omnipotent God. And so wherever God's children are, whenever they have lived in whatever nation, kindreds of people, if their name is in the Lamb's Book of Life and Heaven's Glory, Jesus died and paid for their sins, and have been born of the Spirit of God at some point in their life. And they have a Redeemer. We have a Redeemer. I guess the reason I just felt this so strong in my heart, I think so often I talk about Him as my Savior. Don't you? I'm blessed by thinking of Him as my Savior. And He is. I call Him my Lord, and He is. But I don't often enough quote my Redeemer, the one who paid the debt I could not pay, that you could not pay for me, and my loved ones could not, family couldn't pay for me. But he bought me back. He paid my debt. He set me free in the Lord. He's my Redeemer. And he did it through his precious shed blood. Now, if you believe that today, and I hope you do, because I believe it, and I'm going to tell you, and a joy inside my heart. I hope it. God bless it. Be a joy in your heart. These are kind of dark and difficult days, but this gives me joy. I hope tomorrow and every day you'll think, maybe the Spirit of God just brings it to your mind. I have a Redeemer. I have a Redeemer. He bought me back from my sin. And he set me free. By his shed blood, the debt is paid. When the blood was shed and he died for our sin, the debt was paid. Now what should we do with that truth? Two things, and I'll close. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And that is in the book of Psalms, Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed. If we are the redeemed of the Lord, if he is our Redeemer, the psalmist of Israel didn't know Jesus, but he knew God the Father as his Redeemer. And he could say, let all of us folks that are reading these words, if you believe you're redeemed, if you believe that God in heaven is your Redeemer, then let the redeemed say so. Don't be ashamed to acknowledge Jesus as your Redeemer, because he has redeemed us. It costs him a lot more than it cost us. You know, you might say, well, I have a Redeemer. Jesus is my Redeemer. And somebody might cut their eye and wink at somebody. You hear what they say? You know, people like that about us Christians. They like that sometimes, but I tell you, I don't really care. They don't care why I live or die anyway, most of them don't, so God does. But if we're redeemed, we have a Redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's talk about it. Let's tell somebody about it. And the second thing is what we ought to do before God. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. That's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us, you, as God's children. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So if we are redeemed and we believe that Christ is our Redeemer, let us say so. I'm telling you today, he's mine. And then let us thank him. And I've already done that too. And I'm going to continue to do that. What a good way every day to start the day when we wake up to say, Lord, thank you. You gave me a Redeemer. Thank you for Jesus, who redeemed me from my sin, who died for me and shed his blood. Thank you, Father, you gave him. If you hadn't given your only begotten Son, I wouldn't have a Redeemer today in him. But I do. Lord, help us. Bless us and bless his word to every heart for his glory and praise is my prayer for Christ's sake.